I've entitled my message, Two Confessions. Our text is Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. This is a message in our continuing series on the Sermon on the Mount. But before we read God's Word, let's pray and ask for His help in understanding it. Father, thank You so much for Your Word that is inspired, infallible, inerrant, and it is for us. Even now in this message, we pray by Your Spirit You would teach and lead us into the truth that You would have each of us to know, to hear, and to put into practice. We pray that we would not simply be those who profess faith, but actually those who possess faith. So, Father, grant to us understanding by Your Spirit and write Your eternal truths of Your Word upon all of our hearts. We ask this in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is God's word for us. Fraud, imposter, fake, poser, pretender, forgery, counterfeit. These are not labels or titles that we want associated with our lives. Nobody wants family, friends, or coworkers to think of us in terms of being frauds, imposters, fake pretenders, or somehow a counterfeit. But what about spiritually? Are we genuine disciples, real disciples, authentic disciples? Really, the whole Sermon on the Mount, all of these chapters of Matthew 5 and 6, and now here we're almost to the end of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, all of these chapters in Matthew have been pushing upon us the question, are we real, true, genuine disciples of Jesus Christ? And what does that look like? Kingdom living for Jesus in our fallen world. Are we, as we've said in previous messages, on a narrow road that leads to life? Are we true children of our Heavenly Father? And as we'll hear today, are we doing His will? Jesus has just finished in our previous messages speaking to His disciples concerning false prophets and has told them, the disciples and us, to beware of false prophets, those who would come in sheep's clothing but inwardly are really hungry, ravenous wolves. So false prophets, as Jesus has said, are purposeful imposters. They're fake. They're frauds. False prophets are purposeful imposters. They're posers, posing as someone they're not. And that leads us into our text where Jesus speaks of a different kind of person, one who believes they are saved, but who is deceived into thinking they're a disciple of Christ when they are not. This message, at the heart of it, is about false assurance and false claims of discipleship. Jesus wants to wake us and shake us, those who might be living in a sense of false assurance. And so we're going to see two confessions, one real and one false. Whenever you come to a tough, hard-hitting, no-nonsense passage like the one that's before us. Well, pastors become concerned about two very different kinds of responses, two different kinds of reactions. The first reaction is that someone won't listen, they won't pay attention to this message, and they will think that what they are about to hear applies to someone else. They may be suffering from self-deception, and they will remain where they started out listening, lost. Nothing that is said will trouble their souls. The other kind of reaction, the second kind of reaction, will come from those who have an incredibly tender conscience and are so spiritually sensitive that they will hear these words of Jesus and be very deeply troubled, maybe even doubt their own salvation, but in reality, they are saved. They are true children of their Heavenly Father. They are trusting in Christ, but they will feel wounded by the truth of what Jesus says, and they will have their assurance of salvation shaken unnecessarily. Both of these reactions we have to think about in our own lives. For all who are hearing God's Word, and God's Word is always intended to both comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So let's take a look at our 4 points this morning in our text. The fact of false professions, the foundation of false professions, the flaw of false professions, and the fruit of a true profession. So that's the fact, the foundation, the flaw, and then the very last point, the fruit of a true, not a false, but a true profession of faith. Verse 21, we're looking at the fact of a false profession. Not everyone who says to me, in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, Jesus has used contrast throughout the Sermon on the Mount to teach, to shock, to shake, to invite, to warn those who claim to be His disciples. Now here, Jesus makes another clear contrast. There are two groups. Some think they are going to heaven. There are two groups. The first group thinks they are going to heaven. The ones who come saying, Lord, Lord, have a comfortable expectation of admission into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 22, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. Notice on that day, that's biblical language for judgment day. And if you couple that on that day with not everyone in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, and on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. If you take those two together, not everyone, and many will say in verses 21 and 22, you have those who have a comfortable expectation of admission into the kingdom of heaven. The words, not everyone, exclude universal salvation for everyone. Now think about that. Jesus is saying, not everyone. That means not everyone, by simply existing, can go to heaven. There are those who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone, he says. Many means there is not a rare, this is not a rare and isolated issue. When he says in verse 22, many will say to me, many will say to Jesus, many means there's more than we might even imagine. This is not a rare and isolated issue. So how often are people living under the false assurance that they are believers bound for the kingdom of heaven? Despite making a profession of faith, this group who comes to Jesus saying, "Lord, Lord," will be disappointed and disillusioned on Judgment Day. There is a day laid aside in which Jesus will judge the living and the dead. The great judge of all will not be fooled by an empty, false profession. And so here we have in verses 21-22, Jesus establishing our first point, the fact that there will be false professions. Not everyone, and many. Secondly, the foundation of a false profession, verse 22. "On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?'" You know, what is so remarkable about this verse is that these people who come to Jesus appear to be part of the visible church. They're on the church roll. They read their Bibles. They volunteer. They teach Sunday school. They do or are doing what appears to be very normal ministry activities. They do not appear to be nominal Christians at all. They seem to have some kind of foundation for their assurance. They make a public profession of faith, "Lord, Lord." And they have some spiritual activity. They cast out demons. They prophesy. They do many mighty works. They say, "Lord, Lord," which appears to be polite, respectful, proper, and orthodox, passionate, emphatic, because it's repeated, "Lord, Lord." And it's certainly public. They did deeds in front of others, to be seen by others. So, "Lord, Lord" is polite, it's proper, it's orthodox, it's passionate, and it's public. They have what appears to be a foundation for authentic belief and for ministry activities. They're not lazy, they're not lifeless, they're not idle, they appear busy and somewhat outwardly successful. "Lord, Lord," as they come to Jesus, "did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in your name?" There is nothing in the text to indicate that any of these three things are not real. And many of us likely cannot claim such success for ourselves in our own Christian ministry and activity. Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do many mighty works? All three times in your name. They did extraordinary things. Jesus doesn't argue with them about that. But that is what makes the words of Jesus so sobering, maybe even frightening, because there is a danger of deeds. What do I mean by that? Well, the story in Luke 10, in verses 17 to 20, tells the story of the 72 who returned with joy. They were sent out by Jesus, and the 72 returned with joy. 72, that's a lot of people, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless," listen to that, "nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you." What does he say they are to rejoice in? "Not that we did this or that in your name, but that your names are written in heaven." You can do many things in Jesus' name and still be lost. Judas preached. Judas performed miracles. He cast out demons. He walked with Jesus for 3 years of ministry. But his heart was far from Jesus. He was the son of perdition and lost in the end. Did we not do these things in your name? Lord, Lord, in your name. You see, using Jesus' name does not prove possession of proven genuine faith. Spectacular deeds do not necessarily demonstrate that a claim of faith is genuine. Satan can pretend to be an angel of light. In fact, what Jesus is telling us here is that doing things in His name may simply promote our own vanity, our own pride, our own worldly glory. And that might be actually a great curse and burden. The shaky foundation, we looked at the first fact, but the shaky foundation, the second point, of a false profession is that ultimately these disciples who come to Jesus did what they did in their own name, not the name of Jesus, for their own self-glory. And in the end, it will be hay and stubble and burned up. Remember the words that Jesus is saying. Not everyone who says, many will come saying, Lord, Lord, and they will not be the ones who enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you've got the fact of a false profession, the foundation of a false profession. Then notice third, the flaw of false assurance, the flaw of a false profession. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Verse 23. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. What is the flaw in a false assurance and a false profession? They thought they knew Jesus, but their assurance was flawed. Jesus never knew them. They thought they knew Jesus. Jesus never knew them. In spite of what these, in quote, disciples believe, and even what they do, they are not known by Jesus. They are not part of His covenant people. They are lost. They do not have true assurance. There is this astonishing statement in John 2, the Gospel of John chapter 2, starting at verse 23 through 25. Now, when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in His name when they saw the signs that He was doing. Verse 24. But Jesus, on His part, did not entrust Himself to them because He knew all people. Jesus knew all people, and He did not entrust Himself to them. And it ends with verse 25 of John 2. And needed no one, Jesus needed no one to bear witness about man, for He Himself knew what was in man. Jesus knows what is in our souls, our hearts. You might be under the assumption that you know Jesus, but that's not the question. Does Jesus know you? Do we need to make a credible profession of faith? Absolutely. Are there things we need to believe about Jesus? Absolutely. Listen to Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Verse 23 of our text says, "And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Let's start with the word declare. It's the Greek word homologeso, and it means to speak the same, to agree. I confess, I publicly declare, I agree. Jesus says, I declare to them, and here is the flaw in their confession of faith. They declare they know Jesus, and He says, you don't. They come as bleeding sheep, and Jesus, who knows His sheep by name, says, you are not of my flock. Jesus is saying, you confess me, but I do not confess you. You are not a child of the new covenant in my blood, shed for the many for the remission of their sins. What trembling words. I declare, Jesus is confessing, and here's the next phrase, I never knew you. Jesus is saying, you're a stranger. You're not part of my flock. You're not part of my family. But Lord, I gave to missions. I was a deacon. I was an elder. I was a Sunday school teacher. I tithed. I never knew you. These are trembling words. Next phrase. Depart from me. Depart from me. Final rejection. Final casting aside. Do you feel the weight of these words? I never knew you. Depart from me. But Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things in your name? I never knew you. Depart from me. Oh, how I pray you never hear these words. Third phrase, workers of lawlessness. The ESV has workers of lawlessness. The NIV says evildoers. Beloved, those who come to Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things in your name? They had words. They even had gifts they used. But their lives, Jesus says here, are marked by lawlessness. They are workers of iniquity, practicers of lawlessness, evil doers. But Pastor, how do we know if what we do is truly in accordance with the law, or are we lawless evildoers? Well, maybe we need to ask not just if we're doing the will of our Heavenly Father, but why are we doing the will of our Heavenly Father? Why are we doing what we do for Jesus? Are our actions rooted and motivated by our faith and love for Christ? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith makes the difference. Cain and Abel in obedience brought sacrifices before God, but only one of those sacrifices was acceptable. And the difference was faith. One acted in lawlessness, selfishly, for self-vain glory, and one didn't. Why do we do what we do for the kingdom, for the gospel, for the Lord? Yes, faith is what unites us to Christ, and we are united to Christ. And when we are united to Christ, we're now a part of the family of God. Only those who are united to Jesus by faith will enter the kingdom of heaven. And only those who do the will of the Father have this hope, this settled expectation. And it's only those who are united to Him by faith that can please Him Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God works good works that God works in and through us. Apart from faith in Jesus, they never please God. They're just lawlessness. Good works, apart from faith in Jesus, never please God. They are works of lawlessness. So what are the works that are the Father's will in accordance with His law, as Jesus has been saying? Well, the works that are the Father's will in accordance with the law, well, they start with what we heard long ago in the Sermon on the Mount, the beautiful attitudes of the Beatitudes. Poverty of spirit, mourning for sin, meekness, hungering for righteousness, doing mercy, purity of heart, truth telling, self-sacrifice, and love for one's enemies. This is how the will of the Father is worked out in the life of a disciple. Is your assurance of salvation grounded solely in your own profession? Just in your profession? Or have you put your profession, your confession, into practice? On judgment day, will you have lawless works to which you will appeal? Or will you have the kind which qualify as being the Father's will? This leads finally to our last point, the fruit of a true confession. The fruit of a true confession is obedience. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus teaches plainly, our verbal profession of faith must be accompanied by practical obedience in our lives. Doing the will of the Father is the acid test. Putting Jesus' words of this whole Sermon on the Mount into practice. Doing kingdom living in a fallen world is what the whole Sermon on the Mount has been about. Have we forgotten the words of John 14:15? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the fruit of a true confession, obedience. Keep my commandments. Luke 6:46, listen to these powerful words. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? You come saying, Lord, Lord, look at all the things that we did. Yes, you did. That's it. You did. But it was for your glory and not mine. You did not do what I tell you. Doing the will of God our Father is obedience. Following the words and commands of Jesus is a pleasing and acceptable sacrifice. In 1 John 2:15 and 17, we read these words. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 17, and the world is passing away along with its desires. Listen, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Who will enter the kingdom of heaven? He who does the will of the Father. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. Good works apart from faith in Jesus never please God. We're not being told that works justify or earn an entrance into heaven. We're not saved by works, but we're saved unto good works, unto the doing of the Father's will. The Reformers said, faith alone justifies. Never forget that. But not by a faith that is ever alone. It always has fruit. It always has good works. It's always accompanied by doing the will of the Father. So is your profession and confession of Jesus as Lord empty? Is it false? Is it fake? Are you a spiritual poser? It's not enough for us to think we know Jesus. Jesus must know us. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. Is there any obedience to back up your confession of faith in Jesus? Have you called Jesus Lord, Lord, and yet you do not do what Jesus tells you to do? When Jesus talks about knowing someone, he's talking about whether that person is a son or daughter of His Father in heaven. On the last day, there will be many who claim to know Jesus, but in reality do not. And the caution right now is not to be deceived. Don't walk out that door. Don't hear this message and not examine your heart to guard against calling Jesus your Lord while neglecting to obey His commandments. Guard against thinking that any act of service, no matter how spectacular, is proof that you know God. Are you doing the things you do, your good works, for your glory or for His glory? Take account of your life right now. Right now. And see whether you have truly repented of your sin, put your faith and trust in Jesus for your salvation, and are you doing the will of your Father in heaven? Let me close with an illustration. Carved in a Gothic medieval alphabet on a cathedral door of the Lutheran Lübeck Cathedral in Lübeck, Germany, is this poem. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and walk not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. Not everyone who says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we ask you that you would enable us to respond in faith to the teaching of your word. Give us a renewed heart to make a credible profession and confession of faith and do your will on earth. Write the eternal truths of your word upon each of our hearts, and let us be both hearers and doers of your word in faithfulness. And we give you praise and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.